From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
I like to call this deal the United States-Mexico Trade Agreement. I think it's an elegant name. I think NAFTA has a lot of bad connotations for the United States because it was a ripoff. It was a deal that was a horrible deal for our country. And I think it's got a lot of bad connotations to a lot of people. And so we will you and I will agree to the name.
Well, that was President Trump from the Oval Office making the announcement that the U.S. and Mexico have reached a bilateral deal on NAFTA, clearing the way for Canada to rejoin the talks. President Trump plans to terminate NAFTA and replace it with the United States-Mexico Trade Agreement. Happy Monday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and indeed you are listening to Washington Watch, powered by the Family Research Council. Well, this is more good news than promises kept by the Trump administration. And you know, there are many other success stories routinely ignored by the mainstream press. One member of Congress is tweeting daily reasons why we're better off since the historic tax cuts. In just a moment, we'll talk with Dr. Larry Bouchon of Indiana. And the United States Army announced last week that it has rejected the findings of an investigation and will abandon charges of dereliction of duty against Chaplain Scott Squires and Chaplain Assistant Sergeant Casey Griffin. That is really good news. And we'll talk with Mike Berry, Deputy General Counsel and Director of Military Affairs to First Liberty, who represents the soldiers. And the Senate last Thursday rejected a measure that would have blocked federal government funding to the abortion clinic Planned Parenthood. That's really a hard one to believe. We'll talk with Editor-in-Chief of CNS News, Terry Jeffrey, later in the program. And of course, we'll take your calls. All of this great content can be found on TonyPerkins.com. And you can follow Tony on Twitter at TPerkins. And you can follow me at RJonesReports. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. You know, we've got that big conference coming up, the largest gathering of conservatives in the country, the Values Voters Summit coming up here in September. Well, on August 1st, Dr. Larry Bouchon, congressman serving Indiana, started tweeting 27 reasons why the U.S. is better off following the historic tax cuts and the regulatory rollbacks under the Trump administration. Well, do you hear about these in the mainstream media? Hardly. And then, of course, we talked about President Trump and this new NAFTA agreement. And as all this news was going on, the NASDAQ hit 8,000 for the first time as U.S. and Mexico move closer to striking this trade deal. Maybe that's another one that the congressman can add to his list. With us now is Dr. Bouchon. He represents the 8th Congressional District of Indiana. He serves on the House Committee on Energy and Commerce. And before serving in Congress, Dr. Bouchon was a physician and a heart surgeon. Congressman, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, did we get all that right? You have been on a tweet fest of your own, and I just love it. I've been following you on Twitter, and you have come up with these positive attributes since the tax cuts and whatnot. And where did you come up with that idea?
Well, I think, you know, the House Republican Conference overall have discussed this, the fact that, you know, most of the media doesn't report on all the positive things that are happening in our country, and they tend to try to focus on the negative, specifically things that are critical of the president and his administration. So I think all of us, including myself, want to let our constituents know individually in our districts that there's a lot of positive things happening in the community that you won't see on the mainstream media because it doesn't fit the narrative that they're trying to promote.
Well, Congressman, my daughter, Emily, was born in Indiana, so I know a little bit about the Hoosier State. Was there in the Indianapolis area for about 3 years, and I imagine as you've been back there having your different meetings and talking with constituents, I would imagine they're kind of tuned in to how the economy's doing. Number one on your number one tweet was 12,000 and 24,000. The new standard deduction for individuals and families nearly double the old amount. Of course, we've talked about this on Washington Watch, but I would imagine folks are pretty pleased with that.
They're very happy with it. You know, people do notice, and people are noticing already a small amount more money in their paychecks, and it's going to continue to increase because there's also, with the tax legislation and the regulatory reform, you're seeing an upward pressure on wages, and that's the key. Wages have been flat for 10 years, and every business I go to, in fact, I was just at a fairly sizable business, about 500 employees in my district last week, that across the board pay raises because there's upward pressure on wages because right now we have more jobs available in the United States than we have workers. This is a good thing for the American worker. The tax legislation, the regulatory reform have things going in the right direction. And let me tell you, my constituents and I think people across the country are taking note.
And number three was 16. That's the number of burdensome regulations rolled back through the Congressional Review Act, the most in history. You said you were just at a business there. I would imagine the regulations and the business operators are glad to see some of those go.
They're very glad, and it's not just, you know, what we did in Congress with repealing these regulations legislatively. It's what the administration has been doing really across agencies, including the EPA and others, which have really in the previous administration hamstrung businesses, mainly because they just don't know what's coming next, right? The federal government kept raising the bar, and so it made it very uncertain. And when you have an uncertain environment in the business world and you don't know what's coming next, then of course you're not going to expand, you're not going to grow, you're not going to increase wages and hire people. And so there's just an overall positive attitude now in the small business and honestly in the large business community about where things are going at the federal level. And the legislative part of that, particularly as it relates to EPA regulations, has really been helpful. And I think people appreciate that.
Now, I'm kind of going through your list. We're not going to go through all 27 of them. We'd be here all night because there's so much to talk about. But number seven, 4 million Americans receive bonuses. And I imagine you're hearing about those bonuses. And, of course, Senator Pelosi said those were mere crumbs. But I think for the most part, these increased wages and expanded benefits, thanks to the tax cuts, are really making a difference.
Making a huge difference. I can tell you, you know, that a $1,000 bonus is not crumbs to anyone, honestly, who's working. How would you like to see a $1,000 bonus in your paycheck? Everyone would. And people are noticing. And like I said, the good thing is what I'm hearing, is the sustainability, the long-term upward pressure on wages. You know, and that is happening because businesses are getting more orders for their products. They're much more busy. They have a very positive outlook on the future. People are spending money in the economy, so businesses that produce products are thriving. And so you're going to continue to see that. I don't think that the bonuses are an indication this is a short-term fix. This is going to be a long-term positive outlook from businesses and hence increased wages and probably more bonuses for employees.
In number 13, and I think this is just huge, 3.7 million jobs created since November 2016. And then subsequently, number 15, 6.6 million job openings as of May 2018, which means more jobs than job seekers.
More than twice as many jobs available than job seekers. Here in the 8th District of Indiana and in Southwest Indiana in the Wabash Valley, every business I go to are looking for qualified people to work. And these are not, you know, entry-level jobs. These are all the way from professional engineers down to people with other technical skills and training. These are good jobs, and they're available right now for people. And that's why, since I've been in Congress, I do a job fair in three of the largest cities in my district. And here's the thing. This year I thought that there wouldn't be very many employers or very many people for looking jobs. These were the biggest job fairs I've ever seen, with more employees and more employers. The employees were looking to upgrade their jobs from their current job. So everything is positive here in Southwest Indiana, Wabash Valley, and it's related to the tax legislation and the regulatory change in Washington, which has made people really have a positive outlook on the future.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we're talking with Dr. Larry Bouchon. He represents the 8th Congressional District of Indiana. And now we go down to number 19 and number 20, reasons why we're better off. And they both have to do with the different ethnic groups. The Hispanic-Latino unemployment rate is at 4.6%, lowest on record. And number 20 here, 6.5% African-American unemployment rate, the lowest in 10 years. Those are pretty amazing numbers.
Those are amazing numbers. And what that shows you is what we've done in Washington with the leadership of the president, of this president, where we didn't have a lot of leadership from the previous administration, is we're doing things that benefit everyone across the ethnic and age backgrounds. It doesn't matter who you are. There's positive things happening in all of your communities, and I think those low numbers of African-American unemployment and Hispanic unemployment are indicative of that. And the unemployment level for women is also very low. So we want to do – we're focusing on policies that affect everyone, that improves everyone's lives. And I honestly just think the data bears that out. I think it's very hard, I think, for our opponents on the other side of the aisle to make an argument that what we're doing is only benefiting certain areas of our country. And the numbers just show that that's not true. And we want to continue that. We want everyone to thrive under what we're trying to do.
Now, Congressman, you served in the Navy. Number 27 on your list was 20,000 new troops to bolster our military, and I know that's important to a lot of our listeners.
It's very important. You know, I hate to keep repeating myself, but under the previous administration, the military was somewhat hollowed out for philosophical reasons. And, you know, you just saw the president sign the National Defense Authorization Act. You know, giving money to the Department of Defense that they requested, and also the largest pay raise for troops in almost a decade. And so you're seeing also us focus on national security. Look, it's a dangerous world. We know that, and I don't think we're naive to that. And we listen to our Department of Defense, particularly Secretary Mattis. I mean, his leadership has been outstanding. He has outlined clearly what the goal should be to defend America, and I think we as a Congress and the president have been supportive of those goals.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, we've got about a minute left. Real quick, we watched the president today in the Oval Office on a conference call with the president of Mexico announcing this NAFTA deal. He's giving it a new name. Just a 30,000-foot view, thoughts on that?
I think it's a positive thing. I agree that we needed to have renegotiation of the NAFTA. There were positive and a lot of negative effects of that. And I'm glad to see the American president focusing on the American citizens, trying to make things better for every worker in America.
Dr. Bouchon, we're out of time. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to have you on the show here today. And thank you so much for your service and your work.
Well, you're welcome, and thanks for having me on.
All right. God bless you. Thank you so much. Congressman representing the 8th Congressional District of Indiana. Well, coming up next, the Republican Senate voted last week to fund Planned Parenthood and aborted baby parts research. We'll talk with Terry Jeffrey of CNS News when we return. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony Perkins. Make sure you go to TonyPerkins.com. You can get all this great content. You can download it, listen as you please. We'll be back in just a moment.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
You've tuned into Washington Watch. It's Monday. Yep, I'm not Tony. I'm Russ Jones sitting in for Tony, and it's good to be with you here today. Well, on Thursday, the Senate rejected Senator Rand Paul's amendment, which would have stripped Planned Parenthood of its federal funding in a 45-48 vote. Now, several Republicans voted with their Democrat colleagues. Joining us now is Terry Jeffrey. He's editor-in-chief of CNS News, and he's following the story. Terry, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Russ. Thanks for having me on.
Well, tell us about this story, and, I think we probably know who some of the Republican suspects are.
Well, the real outrage here took place in the Appropriations Committee in the Senate, which is chaired by Richard Shelby of Alabama. What happened, Russ, is on the House side, the House Appropriations Committee passed a bill to fund, they call it the Labor HHS Education Appropriations Bill. It's one of their 12 regular appropriations bills. The version that came out of the House Appropriations Committee included language that would completely defund Planned Parenthood, and not only would deny Planned Parenthood Title X funding, which President Trump is moving to make more difficult through regulation for Planned Parenthood to get, it also would have removed Medicaid funding from Planned Parenthood, which is by far the larger stream. They get about $400 million a year from Medicaid, and they only get about $60 million from Title X. The House bill also included language that would expressly prohibit the federal government from funding fetal tissue research, which you and I have talked about. And what happened was the Senate Appropriations Committee passed an HHS appropriation bill on a 30-1 vote in the committee that left out those two provisions in the House bill and permitted funding of Planned Parenthood and permitted fetal tissue funding. That bill then went out to the floor, and instead of voting on that one bill, that one appropriations bill single, they united it. They joined it with the Defense Department bill. So they have the absolute worst federal funding bill, the Labor HHS Education bill, and they marry it to the one bill that definitely has to go through and clearly carries a legitimate constitutional function of the federal government, the Defense Department bill. And they brought that up to the floor on Thursday. And as you said, Rand Paul, worked to get an amendment that at least would have prohibited to put the House language prohibiting Planned Parenthood funding in there. He had to fight with the Republican leadership. They brought it up on a procedure that allowed it to be voted on, but it would have required a 60-vote majority. And it lost 45-48 with the number of Republican senators that had already left for the weekend to go back to their home states, and with two Republicans, Murkowski and Collins, voting the wrong way.
Right, yeah. So we would have needed, as you said, 60 votes for it to pass. So it was kind of a long shot, wasn't it?
Once they made the decision not to put the language in the bill on the committee level, they made it extremely difficult. Basically, they made it impossible functionally for the Republicans to defund Planned Parenthood and fetal tissue research. And I tell you, the most when I was doing some reporting on this on Friday, making calls and exchanging emails with people on the Hill to try and find out what was going on, what had happened, and why it had happened, I got this statement from a person who would only be identified as a quote-unquote Senate aide. So that's what I can tell you. This person was a Senate aide. But this person knew what they were talking about, and they said this. The chairman, that's Shelby, the appropriations chairman, has been successful in passing appropriations bills because he and the vice chairman, that's Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont, have honored their agreement not to include provisions in these bills that either side considers poison bills. Appropriations bills have included partisan riders in recent years, and they have gone nowhere as a result. That's how we've ended up with some massive omnibus spending bills that everyone dislikes, unquote. So what this Republican Senate aide was saying is that Shelby and Leahy made a deal that in the appropriations bills that they would pass out of the committee, they would keep out any language that either the Republicans or the Democrats thought was a poison pill, quote unquote, and that included defunding Planned Parenthood and defunding fetal tissue research. So basically, the Republicans, Chairman Shelby, gave a veto power over the appropriations bills at the committee level to Patrick Leahy.
Wow. So where do you see it now? What happens with it now?
Well, I think the Republicans are very clearly signaling, and a lot of other things I heard from the Hill on Friday point to in the same direction, that the Republicans are signaling that they're not going to fight at all on the appropriations bills. They're going to end up with probably an omnibus or maybe two or three minibuses, as they call them, that roll these things all together. They give the Democrats everything they want. They don't do anything courageous or that causes a fight. They are going to fund Planned Parenthood. They are going to fund fetal tissue research. And they're basically telling their conservative voter base, if you don't like it, tough. And they're essentially assuming, and I think this is baked in the cake, unfortunately, that the Republican House will cave. That because for example, this HHS appropriations bill, which is teamed with the defense bill, is different than the one that passed the House. Theoretically, they have to have a conference committee and reconcile them. I predict that quote-unquote conference will take place at the last minute, just before the fiscal year ends at September 30th. It'll involve a very elite group of people, basically the leadership, and the House will 100% capitulate to the Senate, and they will fund Planned Parenthood, and they will fund fetal tissue research.
Mm. Yeah, so that expires, as you said, September 30th, and a lot of jockeying going on around there. And the Republican-controlled House, they'll have to deal with this next, right?
They do. And like I say, they haven't passed their full – the full House has not passed their HHS appropriations bill. The committee has. But a similar thing happened last year. Last year, after the committee passed a good – in some aspects good, at least it defunded Planned Parenthood and fetal tissue research. It went to the full House, it passed the full House, but then the Senate wouldn't take it up. And it looks like
right.
That's the same place we're going now. The House will pass a bill that defunds Planned Parenthood and fetal tissue, but the Senate has already said they won't do it.
Right. Terry, thank you so much. Excellent, excellent reporting as usual. Appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you very much, Russ.
All right. Terry Jeffries, CNS News. Well, coming up next, the United States Army has exonerated a chaplain and a chaplain's assistant who faced possible disciplinary action over a case involving a marriage retreat. We'll talk with Mike Berry of First Liberty when we return. You're listening to Washington Watch.
feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
You're listening to Washington Watch. It's Monday. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, and this very show is powered by the Washington, D.C.-based Family Research Council. It's a privilege to be with you here today. Well, the Army announced on Friday it rejected the findings of an investigation and will abandon charges of, quote, dereliction of duty against Chaplain Scott Squires and Chaplain Assistant Sergeant Casey Griffin. And an earlier Army report recommended Squires be disciplined for following the rules of the Army and taking 3 business days to reschedule a marriage retreat he was prohibited by his denomination from facilitating. We've covered this story, and now we get to bring you the good news on the backside of this. With us now is Mike Berry. He's the Deputy General Counsel and Director of Military Affairs at First Liberty, who represented both the soldiers. Mike, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Well, thanks for having me. It's great to be back on again.
Well, it's always great to have you on when there is good news to report. Share with our listeners where we've been and how we got to where we are today.
Well, you know, this all started back at the beginning of the year in January when, Chaplain Scott Squires, who's a Southern Baptist chaplain, was scheduled to facilitate a marriage enrichment retreat, which is called Strong Bonds in the Army. And as a Southern Baptist, his denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention, forbids him from facilitating or really providing any religious services that would include same-sex couples. And that's, you know, actually also true for, you know, the Catholics, the Catholic chaplains and Muslims and many others. And, you know, Army regulations and federal law both say that chaplains in the military are required to follow those rules and regulations put in place by their endorsing denominations. And so that's exactly what Chaplain Squires had to do, is he had to figure out a solution to this by rescheduling the retreat, finding a different chaplain who was, you know, not a Southern Baptist, not under that kind of a restriction. And, he was able to reschedule the retreat. He was able to ensure that the couple that had signed up, the same-sex couple that had signed up, was registered for the new retreat with a different chaplain. But instead of and they actually didn't show up. They were a no-show. And instead of attending the marriage retreat, they filed a discrimination complaint against Chaplain Squires and the chaplain assistant, Sergeant Griffin. Fast forward 7 months later, the Army conducted an investigation. They actually allowed the investigating officer to do 2 different rounds of investigation. And despite, you know, First Liberty Institute's, you know, legal defense and pointing out all the procedural flaws, the legal errors, the constitutional rights that were being trampled upon in the course of this investigation, the Army still, you know, continued to persist in investigating Chaplain Squires and Staff Sergeant Griffin until just on Friday of last week. We received the good news that the Army has finally relented and decided to disapprove the investigators' findings and recommendations, which, as you mentioned, included dereliction of duty charges. Mm. And now, yeah, go ahead.
What were the winning arguments that pushed this, you know, back over the edge, so to speak?
Well, you know, obviously the Army didn't disclose to me exactly, you know, kind of what was the straw that broke the camel's back on this. But, you know, First Liberty Institute, in fact, you know, people can go to firstliberty.org and see exactly what we filed with the Army, our legal arguments. But, you know, the primary argument we made was, look, this investigator seems to think that, and he did. He continued to point to the fact that, well, there's Army regulations about discrimination and not hurting people's feelings and things like that. And I said, yeah, that's all true. But you know what? There's also this thing called the Constitution, the First Amendment. There's federal law called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. There are specific laws that address religious freedom in the military. And no, you know, regulation or policy manual can ever trump the Constitution or federal law. In fact, it's the other way around. You know, there was a while there where it was touch and go. I wasn't sure the Army was going to understand that. And, you know, we were very concerned that we might actually have to file a federal lawsuit over this, as we've had to do in other cases. And, again, we're very thankful. I know that Chaplain Squires and Staff was relieved that they can kind of move on with their lives and their careers now, that they no longer have the stigma of this accusation hanging over them. And we're grateful that in the end the Army reached the right result.
Well, Mike, let me ask you this question. We have a lot of military folks that listen to this program. Matter of fact, I know a number of military chaplains that listen to this program regularly. Speak to them right now. What would you say to them that face these same challenges and they're devoted in their faith, but at the same time they want to follow the ways of the military, but they also, you know, God is God.
Well, the first thing I would say is our nation was founded on principles of religious liberty. For as long as we've had a nation and as long as we've had a military, we have taken steps to ensure that the free exercise of religion is protected to the fullest extent possible by law. Yeah, we certainly get – I'm a veteran myself, and I understand we give up some of our freedoms and some of our rights when we serve, but we do not give up our religious freedom. And if you're facing a situation similar to Chaplain Squires or something else, contact First Liberty Institute. We're happy to help free of charge.
Mike, thank you so much. Thanks for that good news update. We appreciate you always being on Washington Watch.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. That's Mike Berry, Deputy General Counsel and Director of Military Affairs of First Liberty. Really, really good news. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins.
Touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting FRC.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Thank you for all that you do so that we do get a Christian perspective on what's going on in Washington and with the news. Thank you and God bless.
Russ, I wanted to tell you that I really enjoyed yesterday's program and especially at the end, you know, I call that the invitation.
The invitation. That's where we are right now. We're in the invitation part of the program. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. You're listening to Washington Watch. Those are some sweet callers from our Washington Watch comment line, our caller line. Love to hear from our listeners. It kind of gives us a measuring rod of how we're doing, what's on your mind. Sometimes you don't get a chance to get in on the caller line, and so you can leave your thoughts there. Well, give us a call now, 866-372-7234. You know, yesterday I was at church. I go to Pine Lake Church, and it's one of these multi-campus congregations. Has a main campus down in central Mississippi, and then there's multiple campuses across the state. And you know, this church here, I'm telling you what, about 2.5 years. You know, this church after about 2.5 years, averaging anywhere from 700 to 1,000 people, and the kids, the students, are just beaten down the door to get into this congregation. And yesterday, woo, Dr. Chip Henderson, he had a convicting message on prayer. That some, you know, sometimes we get disappointed because maybe we're not hearing from God. Well, because our prayers are kind of like, hey, God, bless this, bless my food, bless my family, bless my job. It's kind of like take out. And we don't really get after it, and we're not specific in our prayers. Well, listen, hey, in our household, that changed this morning. We were getting after it, specific in our prayers, calling on God, and making sure that we're just smack dab in the middle of where God wants us to be. And that's that message yesterday really called out to the heart of prayer. And that we need to kind of find a way to get away from these just token prayers that are kind of lame, really, and that we don't believe in God enough to answer the prayers. We don't believe in God enough or in our own boldness to just lay it out there and lay it on the line. God, you know, hear the cries of my heart. Hear the confessions of my soul. I'm struggling here. Father God, you know, this is, you know, pointing a spotlight right on the middle of what the challenges are and the concerns are, and they're just kind of an afterthought. So, Dr. Chip, thank you, brother, for that message. Thank you for laying that one on the line. And I want to do that here. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. And, of course, our thoughts and our prayers go out to Senator John McCain and his family and in his passing. You know, it was just one day after he stopped cancer treatment that that announcement was made. And, you know, the family is going through a difficult time there. And we've got so much to talk about today. You know, we lifted up, talked about 27 ways that we're better off since the tax cuts and with President Trump in office. I thought that was an excellent segment. And the good news of Chaplain Squires and the charges against him being dismissed, and the concerning news about the funding of Planned Parenthood and the Senate in that vote. And we need to get on our knees and cry out to God in prayer on these issues specifically. God, we need the eyes of lawmakers to be opened on these issues. Do we really want to be a country with wholesale abortion where we idolize that part of our culture and our lifestyle? That is not something to be proud of. So let's talk about it. It's Monday. 866-372-7234. 866-372-7234. Want to hear from you. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins. Hey, have you signed up for Values Voters Summit? All that great information is on TonyPerkins.com. About the third week of September, I think we are reaching record numbers. You don't want to be left out. It is indeed the premier conservative gathering in the country. And you will hear from one great, articulate conservative speaker and thinker, intellect, God-fearing conservative after another in our nation's capital. And I can tell you, that group will be getting after it in prayer. Let's go to Larry in Illinois. Hi, Larry. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello.
Hi, Larry. Welcome to the show. I think we just lost Larry in Illinois. I think he wanted to talk about the military regulations and whatnot. It'd be interesting to hear from some of our pastors that might be listening and some of our chaplains that might be listening. Good news on the reversal here of Chaplain Squires and Sergeant Griffin not putting on a retreat, but making sure that the retreat went on and had others lead it. Let's go to Iris in Texas. Hi, Iris. Welcome to Washington Watch.
I appreciate you, and I appreciate you making the comment on how to pray for our lawmakers to see Planned Parenthood defunded, because I support the Pregnancy Resource Center in my small community that I live in, and our church, it's one of our home missions, and I'm very passionate about it. I do the Walk for Life, and I have a prayer group in my home on Thursday morning. It's three or four of us who intercede for Israel, the nation, and personal needs of our church. But this is a very enlightening way to pray, because, like, we have Ted Cruz, and we have John Ratcliffe, and we have mostly strong conservatives that go to Washington, but unless there's more of them in the places that make the decisions, like the way it went down in defeat, President Trump can be the most pro-life president we've ever had. But unless others stand behind him, it's business as usual, and that's what is so frustrating to conservatives and to Christians and believers of all different faiths that want to see America's Holocaust come to an end. And I think that my point is that was very enlightening to me, and that's going to be the specific way that I pray. And I encourage others to be watchmen on that wall, to intercede that way, because we have the chance to make our request known to God, knowing that he cares for America and he wants this to end more than even we do, because he's the giver of all life. That's my comment.
All right, Iris. Excellent. Absolutely. You know, being a lawmaker these days is not for the faint of heart. I mean, the incivility and the challenges and the folks pushing you for your vote and support, these lawmakers indeed need our prayers. Let's go to Phil in Arkansas. Hi, Phil.
Hi. Hi.
How you?
Hi. Hi. Thanks for having me on. I'm still kind of hoping that President Trump and a Republican Senate can end taxpayer-funded abortion.
Well, you know,
go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, we talked about that earlier. The Senate did not vote in favor of doing that. And your comment is right. It's, you know, if in God, all things are possible.
I haven't given up hope. I've got high hopes. I think they can still get it done. I believe President Trump is all for ending taxpayer-funded abortion and not happy about that.
Well, these lawmakers need to hear from their constituents like you. And thank you, Phil, for calling. And by the way, if you want to give the Senate a call, that number is 202-225-3121, 202-225-3121. You can call your senator and express your displeasure with that. Let's go to Joe in Ohio, but you can give us a call here, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Hi, Joe.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to reiterate and piggyback on what you guys just said. Yep, we've got there's three primaries tomorrow, and we need the Christian conservatives to get out and support the pro-life candidates in their districts, Florida, Arizona, I think the third one's Oklahoma, but there's a lot of good pro-life candidates out there. We need to support them, and, you know, Rand Paul brought the defunding of Planned Parenthood up, and we've got 51 rhinos in the Senate, and he could only get 45 votes. So definitely we need to get some strong conservatives in these primaries. I urge the Christian conservatives to get out and vote and support the conservative candidates in your area. And also heading into the general election, don't send your money to the swamp in Washington. Send it directly to the conservative candidates. If it's Marsha Blackburn in Tennessee or the conservative candidate running, they all need your help. Thank you, and God bless all you do.
God bless you too, Joe, in Ohio. Thank you. Give us a call, 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And as I was saying, prayer, I mean, that's at the root of everything, but yet, are you guilty of this? It's kind of, you only call on God, it's kind of the last resort. There's too much of me, too much of you, too much of us in the middle of thinking that we're going to solve these issues, and oh, hey, if I don't get it to where I need it to go, hey, I'm going to go call on God. And I was talking earlier about the message that came down from the pulpit, came across the pulpit. They don't preach down to us at Pine Lake. It's like right to you, right smack in the forehead, talking about needing to be bolder in our prayer, needing to be more specific, and to pray in specifics. God can handle that, and not to just be so kind of milk toast in our prayers, and go find that charismatic heart in our soul and our spirit that cries out to God, believing that God is the creator of all things, and God can do things to change our lives and to bring us exactly where we need to be. Let's go to Belinda in Missouri, my home state. Hi, Belinda. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Russ. How are you? Thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you. I'm great. What's on your mind?
Well, first, I want to say I'm a big Trump supporter. I think he's doing lots of good things. But, you know, we always talk about the fake media. But this is in relation to the tax reform. So mm-hmm. Everybody's touting, oh, hey, the standard deduction went up from $6,000 to $12,000. Isn't that great? And yes, it is, until you figure out the fact that they also took away the $4,000 personal exemption. So let's say you had $10,000 in itemized deductions. That's more than $6,000, so you're going to take that. Plus, you're going to get the $4,000 personal exemption, which means you get $14,000 rather than $12,000. So I think that they're kind of trying to pull the wool over America's eyes, saying, yeah, see, we've doubled your deduction, but they're not talking about the personal exemption they're taking away.
Well, maybe that is indeed a good point. I know a lot of folks are pleased with what they're seeing in their, you know, their paychecks. Their paychecks have gone up, and they're pleased with their pension funds and those sorts of things. So, you know, I hear what you're saying, Belinda, and we'll probably circle back on that again another day and appreciate you calling on that. Let's go to Bob in Mississippi. Hi, Bob. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, sir. I just have a quick question because I want to contact my senator. I turned my radio on just as you were talking about the bill the Senate passed about the use of the fetus parts.
Right.
The abortion. You know what I'm talking? I just want to know, what is the bill, or the number, or the name of that bill?
Let me, Bob, I'm going to have to go find that. I don't have that right.
That's okay. I know it's getting close. Yeah. I'm going to look at it myself. Be close to the end. Hey, I love the show. Enjoy it no matter who's on. Y'all take care, okay?
All right, Bob. Thank you so much. Appreciate you calling and appreciate you being a part of our FRC team and our Washington Watch family. Give us a call, 866-372-7234. Got time for just a couple of more callers. I'm Russ Jones, sitting in for Tony Perkins, 866-372-7234. It's indeed one of those days that we come together and we call out to God. We cry out to God, looking for ways to earnestly draw on him in prayer and to call on his holy name. And you know, from 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 4, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Let's go to Texas. Got time for a couple of more calls. Let's go to Texas. So, Linda, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me today. I just wanted to make a comment about Obamacare and the necessity to have it repealed, to get done away with, or to do away with the death panels and all of the things that deal with people over, 50 who are considered defective. That we need real health for. My health care went up $374 this year, and that was over and above what my school, I'm a school teacher, and my school mm-hmm. pays $500 of it, but I pay an extra $374. And I was told by my doctor that if they don't do something to repeal Obamacare, that I may not be able to get my asthma inhaler anymore. And that's a very right. frightening thought, because that's what keeps me alive. And
I'm sure it is.
Need to step up.
All right, Charlinda. We're out of time. Sorry to cut you off there. And a lot of voters have not forgotten about Obamacare, still hoping and praying that we can see a change in our health care. You've been listening to Washington Watch. I'm Russ Jones, been sitting in for Tony Perkins. And friends, he will be here tomorrow if the waters don't rise and the Lord tarries. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.